We've been doing a series for the last number of weeks that we've been calling Brand New You, talking about who you are in Christ. That the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. They're a new creation, talking about who we are as this new creature, this new creation. Because it doesn't make any sense to become somebody new, but just continue living like you're the old you. But we interrupted this series last week to present everything that we talked about last week. And I want to pause one more week before we jump back into that series, because this is such an enormous step for us as a church, and because I've asked you to be praying, I thought it would also be good to take a Sunday and just sort of teach on hearing the voice of God. One of my favorite things to talk about, not because I'm a master of it, but because I love learning about it. I want to be a student. I have a desire to hear God speak. I want to be a man that knows the voice of God. So this is one of my favorite topics. But if we're saying, listen, we're going to set aside time, God, what do you want us to do? We want to be in uncommon unity as a church moving forward. We want to hear from you. People always make the mistake, or tend to make the mistake, of praying those kinds of prayers, telling God they need direction, but then they move on and they don't really give God an opportunity to respond to that request. So they voice that concern, God, I don't know what to do, and off they go, stumbling through life instead of developing the ability to hear God's voice, because God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. Amen. Father, we love you. I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray you bless us with eyes to see, bless us with ears to hear. God, give us hearts that are tender and receptive, a spirit of revelation and understanding, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. When you read through the Bible, one of the things that you can learn is that over the course of history, God dealt with people differently at different times. And from a Bible scholar standpoint, that would be called different dispensations, that God was dealing with humanity differently depending on the season that they were in. So you can go back early in God's word and find that the way that God dealt with people was through patriarchs, or speaking through a person and dealing with them as an individual and their family, men like Noah, men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he was dealing with them as a family unit. Then when God brings the Israelites out of Egypt, he takes them into the wilderness and he gives them the law. He gave them a new basis of relationship with them, a new covenant, a new way of relating that was for them specifically as a nation. It didn't apply to other people the way that it applied to them. He gave them a system for sacrifices. He gave them a priesthood that they would interact with. Eventually, they had the temple that they would go and worship at. And that was a certain dispensation or a way that God was dealing with his people. Then Jesus came and he brought us the gospel, the good news that required an individual response, but was available for everyone and still is available for everybody that would respond to the good news about Jesus. So there are these different time periods, these different dispensations, but as you read through God's word, one of the things that is consistent, no matter where you are, what covenant you're talking about, what time period you're in, is that God consistently has a desire that his people would know his voice. In fact, that's one of the distinguishing characteristics about the people of God, is that they would be people that know how to hear from God. God desires that you know his voice. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you directly. He wants to talk to you in general terms. He wants to talk to you in specific terms. That is God's desire, that his people would hear his voice. Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. And if we had time, we could go for Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Let me give you a sampling. One is in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is pre-law. This is before the children of Israel received the law, but they've just come out of Egypt. They've recently come through the Red Sea. So before the law came, God had a desire to speak to his people and that they would listen for his voice. You can certainly see it with the patriarchs. Like I said, Noah heard the voice of God. He knew how to hear from God to the point that he could receive dimensions of a boat, how to build it, how wide, how high, how long. Abraham, a patriarch, knew how to hear the voice of God. God said, leave where you live and go to a place that I'm going to show you. You're going to have many descendants. Abraham, come outside of your tent. Look up at the stars. Can you count all those stars, Abraham? No, you can't. That's the way that your descendants are going to be. He had the ability to hear God's voice, but it wasn't just for a few of God's favorites. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's telling his people, I don't want you to have to worry about things that other people have to worry about. I want you to obey, follow my regulations, but all of it is traced back. I want you to listen carefully to my voice. God wants his people to be able to hear him speak. That's pre-law. Let's look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, this is actually when Moses is going up to receive the law. Starting in verse 3, it says, then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me, that word that's translated obey in the New Living Translation literally means to hear or to listen. If you're reading from the King James Version, it'll say, if you hearken, hearken. He's talking about listening, hearing, hearkening. Now, if you will listen, if you will hearken and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me. How would they qualify to be God's own special people? What would be the distinguishing mark? If you will listen for my voice, if you'll hear what I have to say, if you'll take time to listen to me speak. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. So this is when they're receiving the law. God's saying, here's what I want. I want you to be my people that hear my voice. Later on, when they're receiving instruction about the blessings and the curses associated with obeying or disobeying the law, in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you fully obey, verse 1, if you fully obey, this is the same exact word that's used in Exodus chapter 19. The word obey here means listen, hearken, hear. If you hear, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey, if you hear, if you hearken, if you listen for the voice of God. If we skip down to verse 15, we see the other side of it. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. If we read the entire chapter, we would see a list of incredible benefits and wonderful blessings and horrible curses. All of it is traced back to whether these people would listen, hearken, hear the voice of God or not. This is in response to the law. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Again, what I want to establish, and we could take this further, but what I want to have clearly established is that God consistently wants his people to be people that know his voice. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 21. It says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take your burnt offerings and your other sacrifices and eat them yourselves. When I led your ancestors out of Egypt, it was not burnt offerings and sacrifices I wanted from them. This is what I told them. Obey me, listen to me, hear me, hearken me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's the passage that we just read from. He's quoting it back. Do everything I say, and all will be well. Verse 24. But my people would not listen to me. They kept doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backward instead of forward. From the day your ancestors left Egypt until now, I have continued to send my servants, the prophets, day in and day out, but my people have not listened to me or even tried to hear. They have been stubborn and sinful, even worse than their ancestors. So in this passage, God's saying, listen, you take your sacrifices, take your offerings, you can eat them yourselves. I don't even want them. Why is he saying that? Because they'd gotten into a habit of just going through religious exercises, just doing some of the stuff that looked good on the surface, but they were missing what God really desired. They were missing ultimately what he was after, what he required. He wanted people that would be close enough to him to know his voice. People that would listen to him, but they were just going through the motions, bringing offerings. He says, you can keep it. I want people who know me and hear my voice. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the very same trap that we go through a lot of religious exercises. We even check our Bible reading plan. We do all that kind of stuff. We come in and out of God's house. That's all fine. But what God is really after is he wants people that know his voice and who take their time to develop the ability to hear him speak and respond to his voice. That's what he's after. And in this passage, he says these people haven't even tried to hear. He sent them prophets. Why does God send prophets? Because there's something he wants to say to his people. He's trying to find more avenues to speak to us. And he says, you've rejected them. You've gotten yourselves into all kinds of wickedness. And if you know the story of Israel and some of the things they got themselves into, you know they got into all kinds of perversions and wickedness. But what does God trace it back to? He traces it back to the moment they stopped listening for his voice. They end up all kinds of places he never wanted them to go, places they never intended to go. Why? Because they stopped being able to hear the voice of God. So he said, you keep your offering. I'm not interested in all the religious stuff. I want your hearts. I want to be able to talk to you when I want to talk to you. That we see it pre-law. You can see it in the law, and it doesn't change as we move into the new covenant. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is the passage where Jesus is identifying himself as the good shepherd. We'll just read a few of the verses. Starting in verse 3, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him. Why? Because they don't know his voice. Over and over, the emphasis is on his sheep knowing his voice. If we flip over to verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Three distinct characteristics of one of Jesus' sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So you can see in the new covenant, of all the things Jesus could have said to identify his sheep, he doesn't say, my sheep will do a lot of fasting. He doesn't say, my sheep will pray. There's nothing wrong. Those are good things. We talk about those. We do them. He doesn't even say, my sheep will read the Bible. He says, my sheep will know my voice. Because it's possible to spend time in fasting and spend time in prayer. It's possible to spend time in the Word of God and still not really hear God speak the way that he wants to speak. There are people that'll get up and they might read the Bible every day, but if they're not engaging, if they're not inclining their ear, if they're not really hungry to hear the voice of God, you can flip through the pages and check off your Bible reading chart, but never really hear God speak something alive, something specific. That's the way that our shepherd wants to speak. It says he calls them by name. That lets us know that yes, there is general words for us, but when he's calling sheep by name, that means he knows your situation. He knows what you need to know. There is wisdom and insight and revelation for you specifically in your specific situation, the choice that you're faced with, what later today looks like. God wants to be a part of it. He wants to lead you. In fact, the analogy of him being a shepherd, if you grew up in that agricultural society, you just know instinctively that the way that a shepherd leads his sheep is through his voice. Just by Jesus saying, I'm like your shepherd, I lead you. Well, I better know his voice then. They'd know it because that's the way it happened. It wasn't about the sheep keeping their eyes on the shepherd. They didn't keep their eyes. They're either looking at the grass or they're looking at the rear end of the sheep in front of them. They're not on their back feet peeking up trying to keep their eye on the sheep, right? They can't see him. How did the shepherd lead them? With his voice. He'd be speaking. He'd be singing. He'd be calling out. And they would become so familiar with that voice that wherever that voice went, that's where they went. That's how a shepherd leads a sheep. So with that understanding, if he is your shepherd, that means it is imperative that you learn his voice. God desires his people, whatever dispensation, certainly in this one, God wants you to know his voice. That is the mark. We saw it in the Old Testament. Then you will be my own special people. He's essentially saying the same thing in a different way. My sheep know my voice. So how does a sheep get lost? How does a sheep go astray? They stop listening to the voice. They get distracted. They tune out. They get preoccupied. Before they know it, they're lost. Why? Because there was a moment in time where they stopped listening for the voice of the shepherd. We need to have hearts. We need to have ears that know the voice of the Lord. For decisions like we're facing as a church, but in your own life, as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as an employee, as an employer, we need to know the voice of God. As a man of God, as a woman of God, as a neighbor, whatever role, just you as a human being, as a child of God, you need to know the voice of God to develop a heart. Because you can read the Word of God, like I said, and not necessarily come away with revelation. You can sit in a service and some people God is speaking. You can hear them amening. You can see them jotting down their notes and you think, what in the world is that person writing down? I haven't gotten anything. What are they drawing? What's going on over there? You're getting nothing. And there, God's just speaking to them and revealing things. So it's not just the ability to see or the ability to hear. That there's a deeper understanding. In fact, Jesus, sometimes as he was teaching, would say things like, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, on one level, that doesn't make any sense at all, because anyone who heard Jesus say that clearly has ears to hear, so why would you even bother saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? Unless, of course, Jesus wasn't just talking about the natural ears. He was talking about another way of perceiving or hearing. He was talking about spiritual ears. I know you can all hear my voice, Jesus was saying, but those of you who have the ability, those of you who have the desire, let them hear on another level. There's places like Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, where Jesus is talking about people that he describes in this way. Seeing, they won't see. And hearing, they won't hear. What's he talking about? That they're able to see the stuff and hear the message and hear the teaching, but they don't have the ability to really see it. They can hear it, but they can't hear it the way that I want them to hear it. So we need to develop that ability to hear God speak to us. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, it says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Well, it's talking about the same category of people that Jesus was talking about, that even though they could hear, they couldn't really hear. And even though they could see, they couldn't really see. That there was a callousness. There was a hardening that came on their heart that they lacked the ability to perceive what was going on. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So they've heard them, but they hardened their heart. Even though they saw the miracles, they weren't getting exactly what it is that they were seeing. They were only seeing it in the natural and not seeing it in the spiritual. Verse 10, so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Hearing God's voice, hearing the way he wants you to hear, seeing what he wants you to see, opens up a place of rest. When you develop the ability to hear the voice of God, you open up true rest. If you can't hear the voice of God, if you don't hear the Lord speak, then you lose your access to that place of rest that God has for you. That there is a place of rest that God has for you that comes by knowing the voice of God. When you hear God's voice, when you hear him speak, it opens up a place of rest. Similar to what it says in Romans chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Because when you are in real faith, not manufactured faith, not trying to put up a good front faith, when you are in real faith, you're in a place of rest. How does it come? By hearing. Romans chapter 10, what it says there, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Word in the Greek, there's two different possibilities for the word, word. Logos and rhema. The word rhema has to do with a spoken word, a now word. Logos is the complete counsel of God. It's it, all of God's wisdom, all of his knowledge, all of it. But rhema is right now, what God is showing you right now. So God reveals his logos through rhema, a bit at a time, a revelation at a time. None of us know the entire logos, if that makes sense. But he speaks to us. So faith comes by hearing. Not there are people that can read the Bible in a year or whatever plan they're on and really not build their faith the way that they could build their faith. If it just stays black and white, it's just ink on paper. They read through it. They learn some things. They get some understanding. But it's not causing your faith to come alive. They're not growing as a man or a woman of God. Because logos is one thing, but it's through rhema, the Bible says, that faith comes. It's when God speaks to you and you open up your Bible and you read that passage that maybe you've read before, but you've never seen it like you see it this time. It's like it's coming alive, or God just speaks to your heart as you're busy going about your day, or you're spending time in worship and God speaks to you. That's where faith really comes alive. When you know that, you know, God has spoken this to me, or this verse, man, it's just alive on the inside of me. That's when faith comes. That's how you build your faith. How does it come? By hearing the voice of God. Not just by reading the Bible. And trust me, I'm very big on reading the Bible. Don't misunderstand that I'm downplaying that at all. But beyond that, Jesus said, hearing, they don't hear. Seeing, they don't see. You can read the Bible and fall in that category of people. We want to develop the ability, not just to read, but to hear, to see, to know the voice of God. I think I was reading through a passage of Scripture. Verse 12, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. So they're being given instruction over and over, don't harden your heart. That lets us know that you and I are the ones that determine whether our hearts are hard or whether our hearts are soft. There are things we can do to harden our hearts and callous them up so that even when God is speaking, we're not getting it. And there are also things that we can do that we develop the ability to hear the whispers of God, which is what he wants. Jesus said, what you hear whispered in the quiet place is what you're supposed to shout from the rooftop. There's a lot of people not doing any shouting because they don't have the ability to hear the whispers that God wants to speak to them. We've got to develop that ability. You and I are the ones that determine if we hear from God or not. He's not just speaking to a select few. He's talking to each one of us, and he wants us to hear his voice. So in that passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things we can learn just from a practical standpoint. How can I position myself to hear God speak more clearly? Which is something, again, you see throughout the Bible. You read through Proverbs. My son, listen to my voice. Incline your ear. There is a positioning. There's something that we determine whether we get in a spot, get in a place, get in a condition of heart, whether we'll hear him speak to us or not. So one of the things that we can pick up from this passage in Hebrews chapter 3 is it's telling us not to have hardened hearts, calloused, unfeeling hearts, unhearing hearts. It says, don't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. One of the things that will harden up your heart is simply sin. When people have a sin that they allow to remain in their life, something that they just continue to compromise, they won't get rid of it, something in a relationship or a certain habit, a certain hobby, a certain thing that they like to do that's just kind of off limits, I'm keeping this around, and they think they can just continue serving the Lord with it, they don't understand what they have compromised, what they have sacrificed is the ability to hear God speak. It will harden up your heart. Sin hardens people's hearts. So that lets us know that if I get away from sin, the opposite would be walk in righteousness and holiness. The more I sin, the more hard my heart becomes. Well, then the further I get away from sin, I can develop a tender heart able to hear from God. Holiness and righteousness positions you to have a tender heart able to hear God speak. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Why were they so blessed? They will see God. That's not just someday when they get to heaven. It's talking about perception. People that walk in purity, people that walk in holiness, people that walk in righteousness. One of the blessings that come with that is you have positioned yourself to be able to perceive, to be able to see. One of the key things to develop the ability to hear God is get rid of sin. Don't tolerate sin in your life. Don't have a few little compromises that you don't think are that big of a deal. You're allowing your heart to become calloused and hardened. Walk in purity, walk in holiness, and you'll see God. God will begin to speak to you. You'll begin to see revelation. Places you didn't even think you were looking for, God will speak to you. So that's one thing. The other thing is simply having the desire to hear from God. Have a desire, cultivate a hunger to hear the voice of God. These people, it says, even though they heard his voice, they hardened. It says that they turned away from God. When God was speaking to them, they didn't think much of it. They turned away. When we read in Jeremiah, it says that those people, they didn't even try to hear God. When he sent them prophets, they wouldn't listen. He said, you didn't even try to hear me. There was zero desire. We've got to cultivate a hunger, a thirst, an appetite. God, I want to hear your voice. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to just try to figure it out on my own. God, I've got to hear you speak. To stir that up, one of the ways that we stir up that desire is reading stories in the Bible. I was just reading this morning about Elijah and Elisha and passing the mantle and seeing the way that those men heard from God and the things they did. That stirs. God, if those people can operate like that, that makes me want that. God, if they can have a relationship where they wonder what to do and they just say, God, should we go? Should we not go? And you speak to them that clearly. If they can hear that way, I want to hear that way. Cultivate a hunger. See what's available in the kingdom of God and decide, I'm going to have it. If you can hear that way, if you can see that way, if you can speak that way, God, I don't want to settle for anything less. Cultivate a hunger to hear the voice of God. You know, that's what God saw in Solomon that caused him to bless Solomon like few, if any, people have ever been blessed. Let me read it. In 1 Kings chapter 3, this is right after Solomon has been anointed as king following his father David. God appears to him and says, hey, Solomon, whatever you want, you just tell me, I'm going to do it for you. Say anything you want. Now, most people credit Solomon with saying, I want wisdom. And in a sense, that's true, but that's not exactly what he said. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 8, he says, and your servant, this is Solomon, he's responding to God, saying, name what you want. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be counted, to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It says, give me an understanding heart. Now, depending on what Bible you have, if you have a New King James or several other translations, if you look by that word understanding, there'll be a little tiny number that corresponds with some kind of footnote. And if you look at that footnote, it'll tell you what that word that's translated understanding literally means in the Hebrew. And it means hearing. So what was it? If you continue to read that passage of scripture, God said, because you asked for this and not wealth, because you asked for that and not something else, because you wanted this and not fame, I'm going to give you all of the above. I'm going to bless you. What was it specifically he asked for? He asked for a hearing heart. God, if I could have anything, God, I want to hear your voice. God, if you could bless me anyway, bless me with a heart that knows your voice. God, I want to hear you when you speak. I want to have ears to hear. God saw that and said, man, I'm going to bless you. Because that's exactly what's in God's heart. He wants people that he can talk to, that he can speak to. So one of the ways we cultivate it is just to create a desire. God, I want to hear your voice. I wonder if you have ever prayed a prayer like that. God, I want to hear you speak. Would you give me a hearing heart? Would you help me develop the ability to hear you? God, I want to hear you speak more than anything else. I know that if I can just learn to hear you speak, I'm set. I know that you have all wisdom. I know that you have all insight. I know that you know exactly what to do in this situation. Now, God, I just need to hear your voice. I need to hear you speak. That's the way Solomon prayed to God, and God blessed him for it. Give me a hearing heart. I want a hearing heart. You can develop a sensitivity to hear the voice of God. Just like you develop other skills, you can develop the ability to hear from God. Maybe you know a woman of God or a man of God that hears and you think it's just some kind of special channel they have. They've just developed a skill. They cultivated it. They had a desire to go after it. You can develop a sensitivity like you can develop a sensitivity in other areas. I'll use hunting as an example. I like to hunt. I really like to bow hunt. Now, because of that desire, and I want to be good at it, I want to succeed, there are certain skills, certain sensitivities that come along with that. The more time you devote to it, the more time you spend working at that skill. So in the fall, if my wife and I were to take a walk through the woods, say late October, early November, when deer season is just kind of at its sweetest spot, my wife and I could walk through the woods and it'd be a totally different experience for both of us. For her, it's simply that. It's just a walk through the woods. There's sticks, there's branches, there's leaves, there's trees, that's it. But not me. I'm looking, I'm seeing, okay, that's a spot with a deer. I can tell the deer are traveling through here. Okay, that looks like a bedding area over there. You're spotting rubs and scrapes and those kinds of things. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I can try to explain it to my wife. She doesn't care at all. You see this here? This is like a message board for the deer, that they let each other know that they're up for breeding at this point in time. This is how they communicate. And you see that rub over there? She doesn't care at all. It doesn't matter to her. But I'm getting all kinds of insight. I'm getting revelation. I'm getting understanding. Walking through here that she's not getting at all. Why? Because I've developed a sensitivity to perceive things that she hasn't developed a sensitivity to perceive. Why? One, because of desire, but then secondly, the devotion of time. I've devoted myself to it. I've put in time. I've got a desire for it, and through that, I've cultivated, I've learned some things. Now, you could apply this to whatever skill it is that you're familiar with. I'm using hunting because I'm familiar with hunting. But I'm sure it's the same in other areas. For someone that's really good at quilting, they've studied quilting, they love quilting. They could pull out a quilt. I would just see a blanket. That looks like a blanket. Looks warm, I guess. I don't know. But someone else that knows quilting, they could look at it and see, okay, I understand it's this kind of fabric. It looks like they use this kind of pattern for the patches or whatever they're called. It looks like this kind of, hook, link, stitch. I just made that up. I don't know. But they're seeing all these kinds of things, right? They're perceiving information that's there. How are they getting that revelation? And all I see is a blanket. Because they had a desire, they devoted time, and they've opened themselves up to see what otherwise couldn't be seen. I have eyes, I can see, but I can't really see. But through devotion, through desire, through time, through commitment, through hunger, now they have eyes to see and ears to hear. And it works the same way in the kingdom of God. There are people that can read through the Word of God. There are people that can be in a service like this. There are people that can be in a time of worship, be in the presence of God, and it's just like nothing. And others, that they're getting revelation from that. You see that verse? Look at what this verse says, and God is speaking to them. Why? Because they've developed a sensitivity. In the presence of God, they're picking up on things that someone else is just checking their watch. Is it time for us to sit down yet or not? And someone else is receiving revelation about how holy and how worthy God is. Why? They develop a sensitivity. You develop a sensitivity through devotion, through hunger, through time committed to. Another way to position yourself to hear the voice of God is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that when we come to know Jesus, it's wonderful, but for right now we have a dual nature. That we still have this flesh to deal with. Galatians chapter 5 talks about walking in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. It goes on to say you've got these two natures and they're always conflicting. One desires one thing, another desires the other. You've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will allow you to hear the voice of God because God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. That's the realm that He's communicating. He's speaking spirit to spirit, so you need to be in the Spirit to hear Him speak. Just like if I want to receive revelation about where the deer are traveling and what's going on in the woods, there's a certain realm I need to be in to pick up on that revelation. I'm not going to get that revelation laying on the couch. I need to be walking in the woods to hear what the woods have to say. You need to be walking in the Spirit to pick up on the things of the Spirit. There is a certain realm of communication. You can think of it this way. Have you ever heard a bird chirping away, tweeting, whatever you call it, and you thought to yourself, you know what, I'm going to try to communicate with that bird. And so you whistle a little bit and see if you can get them to respond. Anybody? Just me? A few? Okay, a few of you? So it's early in the morning, you're drinking your cup of coffee on the porch, the birds are chirping, you're listening to them, and you think, you know what, I wonder, nobody around. You chirp a little bit, and what do you know, they chirp back, and you're wondering, is he talking to me? I think he's responding to what I, so you go back and forth, and sure enough, it's like two or three times, have you ever done that? You're talking, you're kind of interacting with the bird. But the thing is, when I've done that and I've gotten the bird to respond, I don't really know what it is that I'm saying because I don't speak bird. When I want to communicate with that bird, he's singing a song, I'm going to sing a song too. I don't just start singing, good morning, how are you today? I don't start singing in English. If I want to communicate with that bird, I'm trying to get on his language, right? It's got to be through whistles or tweets or whatever. It's not going to be through me speaking in English. So I've got to speak that kind of language, try to get in that realm to communicate in a way that he understands. But again, I don't speak bird, so I have no idea. Even if I do tweet and he responds to me, I have no idea what I just said. I could have said, flee the area, there's a dangerous predator. I could have said, you look very nice, would you like to start a family? I have no idea what I'm saying to this bird. I'm just tweeting back and forth. Why? Because I'm not a bird. To be able to communicate with a bird, I need to be in the bird realm. Well, the same thing is true for us when it comes to the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings us the voice of God. So as I'm walking in the flesh, I'm just pursuing the desires of the flesh. That's my realm. That's my mode. I'm going to miss the communication that's happening in the spirit realm. I've got to walk in the spirit to hear the voice, to hear the voice of the spirit. Walking in the spirit, walking in holiness, getting rid of sin, not allowing my heart to become callous, having a desire, an intensity. God, I've got to hear you speak. God, give me a hearing heart. That's how we begin to position ourselves to hear the voice of God. Now, in the last few minutes, let me give you just a few ways that you can confirm whether or not you've heard from God. Because some people will ask God to speak, and God speaks, but they're not sure if it was God or themselves, and so they never do anything with it. Other people will think that they heard God speak, and it wasn't God, but they'll act like it was God. And so they get themselves into trouble that way. So there are more. I'm just going to give you a few quick, easy ways that God will confirm what it is he's speaking to your heart. First one is this. It's very practical. When God speaks to you specifically, it will always, always, always line up with Scripture. It'll always line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is given to us as a canon, as a rule, as a measuring rod, not just for our lives. It's a measuring rod for our conduct, but it's also a measuring rod to hold up against the things that we feel the Spirit of God speaking to us to see if they align. Because the Bible lets us know that it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, but it also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired Scripture. So he's not going to contradict himself. You'll never hear God speak to your heart something that runs contrary to the Word of God. So it's the first place to check. God, I feel like you're telling me this. Does it line up with the Word of God? Every once in a while, you'll hear crazy stories. I remember a story of a man who felt God speaking to him to leave his wife and go after someone else's wife. He thought it was from God. It sounds silly, but if you don't, this is a basic principle. If you don't know it, you can get yourself into trouble. He got himself into trouble. That God will never tell someone to do that. Why? Because he's already told us not to do that in his word, to live in holiness, to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself. So he's not gonna talk that way. It's always going to line up with the word of God. He's never going to tell you to steal someone's spouse, steal someone's car. He's never going to tell you to do any of those kinds of things. It'll always, always, always line up with the word of God. It's the first place of confirmation. Another way that God will confirm what he's speaking to you is through circumstances. This is one you've got to be careful with. And one I usually don't even mention because people will often allow themselves to be led by circumstances alone. We're not led by circumstances, but sometimes circumstances will confirm what God has already spoke to our hearts, and that is a world of difference. People don't just, you know, hey, I saw that they're hiring. I guess that's an open door. That must be the will of God. No, unless God's already been speaking to you about it, and then you saw they're hiring, now it's a confirmation. If I felt, man, I feel like, Lord, you've been dealing with me about Minnesota. Minnesota, God, I feel like you want me to move my family to Minnesota. What a strange thing. And then I get a call. There's a job opening. God wants, you know, they've offered me a position in Minnesota. Well, now that's a confirmation of what I felt like God was speaking to me. But just the job posting about Minnesota by itself was not enough. Does that make sense? You've got to be sensitive. It's a confirmation of something you feel is already, God's already dealing with your heart about. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Just to give you a little context, Jeremiah is in prison because he's been prophesying how the Babylonians are going to come and destroy Jerusalem. They're going to come and wipe people out. They're going to carry people away and take them into exile. They're going to destroy the whole place. The king obviously doesn't like hearing that kind of talk, can't shut Jeremiah up, so he locks him up. And that's where Jeremiah is as he begins speaking here. Jeremiah 32, we'll start in verse 6. At that time, the Lord sent me a message. He said, your cousin Hanamel, son of Shallum, will come and say to you, buy my field at Anathoth. By law, you have the right to buy it before it's offered to anyone else. Then, just as the Lord had said he would, my cousin Hanamel came and visited me in the prison. He said, please buy my field at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. By law, you have the right to buy it before it is offered to anyone else, so buy it for yourself. Then I knew that the message I had heard was from the Lord. Jeremiah is in prison. Jeremiah is an incredible man of God. He speaks for God all the time. But there he is in prison one day, and he feels like, man, I feel like God's telling me to like purchase my cousin's field, which wouldn't make any sense at all in the natural. It makes no sense whatsoever. That field was completely worthless. It had no value for a couple of reasons. One, because Jeremiah is in prison. There's nothing he can do with that field. It's also worthless because he's the one that's been prophesying the Babylonians are taking over. They're going to wipe everything out. Nothing had any value. So I feel like God wants me to buy. So what did he do? He just kind of kept that, mulled it over. And then his cousin shows up just like God said he would and said, hey, I think you should buy my field. And then he says, then I knew that the word that I heard was from the Lord. Why? Because he felt like God was speaking something, and then circumstances lined up with what he thought he was hearing, and even the mighty man of God, Jeremiah, says, that's when I knew. That's when I'm hearing clear. Okay, God, I got you. I'll take your offer. I'll buy that field. It was circumstances. Now, again, you've got to be careful in this area, but you can see in the Word of God there are times where God uses circumstances to speak to people and bring confirmation. John the Baptist is another example. John the Baptist was in prison. He started to wonder, is Jesus the Messiah, or have I missed it? Am I off here? I didn't think the Messiah coming would end up with me in jail. So he sent some messengers to go and ask Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we wait for another? And what did Jesus say in response? He could have just said, yes, I am the Messiah. Go tell John. He didn't. He said, you tell John what you're seeing. Just let him know the situation. Let him know the circumstances. Blind people are able to see again. Lame people, they're gaining their ability to walk again. The gospel is being preached. You just go and tell them the situation. Now, that wasn't just God speaking. That was confirmation, because God had already told John the Baptist that Jesus was the Messiah. He's the one that announced it. So God had already spoken something, but now confirmation comes because of situations, circumstances. Just look at what's going on. It lines up perfectly with what God had already spoke to your heart. So number one is the word of God, but there are times where you can also find confirmation in circumstances. I felt like I was supposed to ask my wife to marry me. When I asked her, if she would have said no, I would have had a problem, right? Maybe I didn't hear from God. But because she said, yes, I will marry you, that was a confirmation. Okay, Lord, I think this is going to work out. I must have been hearing from you. Because certainly few other people would have said yes to that proposal. So I knew I must be on the right track and hearing from the Lord. Confirmation of circumstances. The next one, confirmation of the peace of God. Having the peace of God in your heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 talks about letting the peace of God rule. Let it reign in your heart. You should allow the peace of God to reign in your heart all the time, not just when you're facing circumstances. The peace of God isn't something that we pursue like a carrot hanging out in front of us. But we're supposed to be aware of the peace of God. And if you feel yourself stepping out of the peace of God, okay, I know that's not the direction. We allow it to rule. We allow it to reign. We allow it to direct us, allowing the peace of God. So if you start making a decision, sometimes you can even just start thinking about the decision and pay attention to how you feel in your spirit. You start thinking about it, man, I just start letting my mind go there and I lose my peace. Let the peace of God reign in your heart because he'll confirm it with his peace. One more. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manion, the childhood companion of King Herod, Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Now notice, they're together. They've got a small group of guys. They're just seeking the Lord together, enjoying fellowship, enjoying the presence of God. And then God speaks to them, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." I have called them. This wasn't news. This didn't come out of the blue to Saul and Barnabas. God had already dealt with their heart about it. They already knew, I've got a calling. Man, I feel like God wants me to go and preach the gospel other places. I feel like God's calling me to travel and go tell people who haven't heard yet. They had that in their heart, but how did God confirm that? Because when you receive a confirmation, it strengthens your faith. It bolsters you. It validates, just like Jeremiah, it validates. Okay, I know I'm hearing from God. They have this desire. Maybe on their own, Saul and Barnabas would talk together. Hey, wouldn't it be cool someday to travel and minister and just go all over the place? They had that in their heart. God was dealing with them. And now in this meeting of fellow believers, the word came forth. God used fellow believers to confirm the word that he'd spoken to them. God uses the body of Christ, fellow men and women of God, to bring confirmation to the things that he's already speaking to our hearts. They'd already been thinking about it. They already knew about it. But then it came forth through someone else. The body of Christ is supposed to be interdependent. You can tell they didn't just march out on their own. They didn't just say, hey, we feel to do this, we're going to do it. They waited for other people to see it in them. They waited for confirmation. They waited to be released to do it. They were honoring the body of Christ, having other men and women of God close in your life. Close in your life. It matters who it is that's speaking a word of God to you or a supposed word of God. It matters. Somebody who you know is serving God, loves the Lord, is walking in holiness, when they say something to you, it should carry more weight than someone you know is flippant in their walk with God, someone who's living in sin. I'm not saying God can't use those people. God certainly, he can use anyone. The story in the Bible about God using an ass to speak to Balaam. I understand that. But more often than not, he uses someone who's dedicated to him. God's preferred way of speaking is through men and women of God, pure vessels who have set themselves apart. People will justify the fact that God spoke through an ass to make themselves an ass and think that they can just, you know, justify any kind of sinful lifestyle, any kind of thing in their life. You know, God, hey, God used an ass. And they think that that just lowers the standard. If you want to shoot for that thin margin, you can, but you're in much better position if you find men like Jeremiah and Elijah, Isaiah, men that dedicated themselves to follow hard after God and allow God to speak to you and through you, people like that. Have men and women of God that love the Lord, not just people who pull you aside after a service and say something weird. You people that you know their character. I know it happens. Think about their character. Think about the way that they serve God. What other fruit are you seeing in their life? I can tell you there are people that I'm close to that, man, I'm way more open to receiving from them than just people that I know are borderline. If Pastor Jonathan, if Pastor Will, if we're spending time seeking the Lord together and they pull me aside and say, hey, I feel like God's saying this, man, I'm wide open. I want to hear what God's speaking through them because I know their character. I know their devotion to the Lord. That carries a lot more weight. Let people who walk in holiness carry a lot more weight than people who just run off at the mouth because it makes them feel spiritual. It also shows the importance for having close relationships in the body of Christ. Connect groups, small group. That's what this was. This is a small group of men getting together to seek the Lord together. Invest time in your relationships, in your small group, your family within our church family. You need those people. Think about what was on the line for Saul. If he'd been too busy for small group that night, what would have happened? He would have missed God confirming his call in his life. If he'd had too much going on, I don't have time just to get together with my small group. He would have missed out on God validating, confirming. He might have spent the next year, the next 10 years, maybe the rest of his life still kind of like, man, I always kind of felt like maybe I was supposed to travel. He would have missed that moment where God confirmed it through another believer. What about the guy who got that word? What if he said, you know what, a small group, it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to go do whatever. If he hadn't have been there, then Saul would have missed out. Barnabas would have missed out. The body of Christ would have missed out. There needs to be an interdependence in the family of God. And it takes an investment of time. It takes an investment of energy that you've got people that when they speak, you if I didn't know Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Will the way that I know them, then they would just be like this other fringe people that I was telling you about. You've got to have people that you've given them the right to speak into your life. And you need to earn that right in someone else's life, because there's things that God wants to speak through you to someone else. God wants to confirm things in someone else's life through you. But if you keep yourself isolated, you just check in on a Sunday or two a month and then you leave and you don't get more involved, you're going to forfeit the way that God wants to use you, and you're going to cost the body of Christ by your own selfishness. We need one another. Iron sharpens iron, but it's got to be close to other iron in order for it to be able to do its job. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak through you. So many passages, what breaks the heart of God is having people that can't recognize his voice. Like having a child trapped on the other side of glass. You want to tell them you love them. You want to communicate with them. And they just don't have the ability to hear or perceive. How that would break a father's heart. He wants to talk to you. He wants everything that clutters it up, everything that keeps his voice hidden, he wants it removed from your life. He wants to lead you and guide you and direct you and see you walk out the course of life that he has planned for you. It takes hearing his voice. It takes finding confirmation in the word, in circumstances, in the peace of God with other believers. It takes developing that sensitivity. It takes walking in holiness and righteousness. It takes a desire. God, I want to hear your voice. Just like Solomon, Father, give me a hearing heart. God, I never want to miss out. If you say something, God, I want it to hit its mark. I never want to have an ear that's too dull to hear. I don't want to have eyes that aren't able to see the wonderful things that you want to show me. A desire. Don't let yourself grow cold or indifferent towards the things of God. Don't be content to walk according to the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and hear what the Spirit's saying.